From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 14th day of April 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He's in Newmarket, Indiana. And Stephen Platt of Archer Financial Services will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, U.S. EIA says world oil demand will be down about 180,000 barrels a day this year, and it thinks each of those barrels will cost about $53. Next year, by the way, EIA expects that price to go up by $10 a barrel. Dave Dickey will have details later in the program. Also in this half hour, we'll hear our first crop progress reports of the season from the NAS statisticians in Illinois, Iowa, and Nebraska. And in 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Tuesday afternoon, futures in Chicago finished the day like this. The nearby May wheat at 522 and a quarter, down a penny for the day. July contract at 534, three quarters lower. September at 561 and a quarter, down a half cent. July hard red in Kansas City, a nickel lower at 574 and a half. May corn futures, 394 and a quarter, six and three quarters higher. July at 403 and a half, up six and a quarter. September at 413 and a quarter, up six and a quarter. And December futures, the harvest month, 5.5 cents higher at $4.24 and three quarters. March 2010 contract in the corn pit for the day settled at $4.36 and three quarters, up 5.5 cents. May oat futures down a penny at $1.92. May soybean futures up 14.5 cents today, $10.36 the settlement. July at 10:30 and a quarter, up 14.5. The August at 10:06 and a quarter, up 15 and a quarter. September, $9.70, finished 16 cents higher. November beans at $9.39 and a quarter, up 12. The January futures, 12.5 higher at 9:46 and 1/2 for the 2010 contract. May bean meal at $3.16.30, up 3.20. May oil up $8 or up 89 cents at $36.95. From the CME's livestock side, April live cattle at $86.35, $1.12 lower. April feeders at $98.75, down 87 and a half, and the April lean hog futures at $57.32.5, 85 cents lower on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. May crude oil futures at $49.41 a barrel, down 64 cents. May ethanol at $1.56.09, a penny and 8 cents higher. Natural gas up 6 9 tenths of a cent at $3.69.07. The RBOB at $1.45.1, 1 1/10 lower. May heating oil at $1.39.08, just about unchanged. And the propane futures down a penny and 4 cents at $65.02 of a cent. Gold futures at $890.90 an ounce, down $3.80. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average, just at 79.22, is down 136 points at this hour. The U.S. dollar, 84.65, up 0.05. And the CRB index on the afternoon at 225.70 is down 1.08 on the afternoon.
April 15th, you can make WILL a better radio station.
On this day, WILL is fundraising for just 1 hour.
That's it, just 1 hour of fundraising for the entire day.
To help make that work, a generous group of WILL listeners is offering to match your contribution dollar for dollar.
So please, help keep on-air fundraising to a minimum by calling with your contribution at 7 o'clock a.m. April 15th. And thank you.
Hey, don't forget to join us for our Power Hour. It's time to raise a little cash for WILL. There'll be numbers to call, and we're counting on you, the agricultural audience. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region. Tonight in Indiana, cloudy, widely scattered showers, patchy drizzle. In Illinois, mostly cloudy. Lows will range from 32 in northwestern Illinois to 42 in the southeastern parts of Indiana. Tomorrow in the south, mostly cloudy, a few sprinkles early in the day. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy early, then slowly clearing from west to east. Highs will range from 50 near Lake Michigan to 64 in the western part of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Tuesday afternoon. Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, is on the line with us today to take a look at what happened in the world of agricultural markets. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Todd.
So tell me about this Tuesday of trade in Chicago.
Well, I think, you know, we started off with things looking at the little planting delays, number one, looking at the tight stocks of beans. We got the news that 5 to 7 loads of beans were bought by China along the way between Brazil and the U.S., kicking up that the idea of the very, very tight stocks. We saw partway through the market where some private firms had said we'd reduced the Argentine yield again down to 36.5 million metric tons. Where the government started out at the beginning of the year at 43 million metric tons. So we've had quite a bit of a drop there, and that really tightens up the old crop stocks. And then the noon weather had just a little more rain in this coming weekend for the Midwest. So all that put together, along with with crude oil being just a little lower on the day, or about steady through a lot of the day, had us for a higher day, Todd.
Later in this program, I know Don Day is going to tell us that rainstorm is going to slowly move across the Midwest and that it's going to drop rain a little bit of everywhere in all the growing regions, including those areas of the Southwest that have been drier, the Great Plains states.
Uh-huh.
And so that may slow things down actually to the point that you might consider it not yet worrisome, but certainly that it will have an impact over time.
Well, I think that's very much the case, Todd. And, we're not worried yet, but we are starting to get those little pangs of concern and anxiousness to get out to the field. We know with the big planters we have now and the equipment that we have that we can get a lot of acres put in a big hurry. And even last year with all the delays we had some fairly good yields. But we know that it's always better if the corn can get in the ground and pollinate before the real heat of summer.
Well, the change that may happen, and I suppose farmers are more adept at doing this if they haven't put their fertilizer on yet than if they have, is that we could conceivably, I suppose, actually manage to get a few more bean acres. And in Chicago, they seem to think that that would be worthwhile at this point.
You know, that's what they're telling us. They're telling us they'd like to see a few more bean acres because of the corn-bean ratio and how we're looking at the production costs. And actually, I think even before today and before the run-up, we were looking at the when you put it all down on paper, that we made a few more dollars per acre planting beans.
Well, what are you telling producers as they call in, and what kind of questions have they been asking you today?
Well, I think it's, how high can some of these markets go? Is it a time to really think seriously, about doing some more hedging or anything in here along the way, or do I need to replace some sales? And I think, first off, that the main thing we look at is old crop beans are the strongest thing on the board. Corn will probably be drug up by the weather and by the bean, the old crop beans and the way they trade. But we seem to be more in a trading range with the corn and the wheat than we are with the beans. And, looking, and they say, well, where do we sell some new crop beans along the way? And I think that everybody's next step is basically 950 or above is their next increment to be sold. Here's Todd. So, whether they want to sell there or sit tight with them, whatever they want. But we're going to get in the $9.50 to $10 bracket, I think, before we add to either buying puts or make any more sales there.
On Commodity Week, John Bondurant seemed to be fairly bearish the market. Did that surprise you at all?
Not really. He's down in the area where a lot of stuff has went in the ground. They saw a lot of acres, more acres go to beans this year than they had. Number one reason they did not plant as many acres of wheat because of the problems they had with the basis levels for wheat last year down in the Memphis area. Number two, John has always been a person who's planted a lot of acres of cotton. If you remember the number of his acres of cotton, he said he planted this last year was zero. So, he's seen a lot of cotton acres and a lot of wheat acres, especially on his own farm, which he's a large farmer, that went to beans and corn. So, and more to beans is what he told us. So you'd have to think that he does believe that we will see more bean acres than what the government projected in their last report.
Thanks much for joining us today, Wayne.
Thanks, Tom.
Hey, Wayne Nelson is with L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgro seed products, including Asgro's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Dave Dickey's here now with all the ag news for the day.
In agricultural news, the U.S. Energy Information Administration today cut its forecast for 2009 world oil demand by 180,000 barrels per day from its prior March estimate. The agency says it expects world oil demand in 2010 to increase to 85.22 million barrels per day. That's 70,000 barrels higher than it forecast last month. Separately, the EIA said it expects OPEC crude oil production to be 130,000 barrels less this year from its earlier estimates to 28.78 million barrels per day. U.S. crude oil prices are forecast to average $53 a barrel this year, and in 2010, oil will rise, according to the EIA, to an average of $63 a barrel. The EIA also says that regular grade gasoline should average around $2.23 a gallon during the April to September driving season. Zoning rules for wind turbine farms in Champaign County won the approval of a county board committee last night on a 7-2 vote, AM580's Jim Meadows reports.
The Environmental and Land Use Committee endorsed rules to regulate large arrays of wind turbines up to 500 feet tall on agricultural land. Currently, Champaign County rules only cover small individual wind turbines or windmills. Committee members decided to cut the size of the buffer required between wind farms and the nearest dwelling. The proposal called for at least a 1,500-foot buffer, but Committee Chair Barb Wasaki says a 1,200-foot buffer is more common and preferred by developers.
The developers who were at the meeting admitted that 1,500 feet would not necessarily be a deal-breaker, but it would encourage them to rethink the configuration of the wind turbines and their placement in Champaign County.
County Planning and Zoning Director John Hall says he's hoping for quick county board approval next month of the wind turbine rules so that developers already looking to set up wind farms in Champaign County can take quick action. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
President Barack Obama directed his administration yesterday to allow unlimited travel and money transfers by Cuban Americans to family in Cuba and to take other steps to ease U.S. restrictions on the island. But the Obama administration is keeping the decades-old U.S. trade embargo against Cuba in place, arguing that the policy provides leverage to pressure the regime to free all political prisoners as one step toward normalized relations with the U.S. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. It's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week, reminding you, of course, to visit our website. The address is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you can download this program, Commodity Week, other ag programming if you'd like, or you can have it delivered directly to your computer automatically as a podcast. It's all at willag.org. Don't forget to hit subscribe over on the right-hand side of the page for our absolutely free weekend marketing newsletter. Now, up next, speaking of newsletters, yesterday afternoon, USDA sent out the latest crop progress reports. It shows that nationally, producers have planted 2% of their corn acreage for the 2009 crop season, equaling progress during this same week last year, but still 4 points behind the five-year average due to cool, wet conditions that have pushed the start of the spring field work back to a slower than normal pace. Planting was not yet underway in Iowa, Illinois, or Nebraska. Those, of course, are the three largest corn-producing states. We have direct updates from the statisticians in each of them.
This is Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service Illinois Field Office, reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending April 12th. This is the first in a series of weekly crop progress and condition reports for the 2009 growing season. These weekly reports will conclude when harvest is over in early November. To begin, let's take a look at weather conditions since the start of 2009. In the month of January, temperatures were cold, averaging 4.5 degrees below normal, and precipitation was also reported nearly an inch below normal. Ice and snowstorms during the latter part of the month were hard on livestock and stretched hay supplies. February started out with above-normal temperatures and then turning colder in the second half. These below-normal temperatures had many wheat producers concerned about winter kill, especially due to the absence of any snow cover. Precipitation in February averaged right at a half an inch below normal. And for March, temperatures averaged 2.5 degrees above normal, accompanied with above normal precipitation. Late in the month, heavy rains and wet snow fell over many parts of the state, leaving topsoil saturated. And now taking a look into the second week of April, it should be no surprise that topsoil moisture supplies are soggy, with a statewide average rating of 32% adequate and 68% surplus. However, not all of the state was reporting drenched conditions. Three crop reporting districts had 50% or more of their acreage in the adequate topsoil moisture category. They were the two northern districts and the southwestern crop reporting district. Statewide average temperatures came in 6 degrees below normal. However, precipitation was right at 1/3 of an inch above normal. Days suitable for field work last week averaged just over 1 day out of 7. However, the northwestern crop reporting district did report nearly 4 days suitable for field work. Due to the wet conditions, corn planting has yet to begin in earnest across most of the state, and normally we would expect to have 7% of the crop in the ground by this date. The condition of the soft red winter wheat crop came in at 1% very poor, 8% poor, 25% fair, 58% good, and 8% excellent. On a positive note, pastures and alfalfa fields were benefiting from the abundance of moisture and were rated in fair to mostly good condition. Farmers continue to prepare their equipment for spring tillage operations and tend to their livestock. This has been Brad Schwab with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Greg Tayson, Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending April 12, 2009. Generally warmer weather and drier weather prevailed most of the week in Iowa, allowing soil moisture surpluses to slowly diminish. As conditions improved, field work resumed and gradually accelerated through the week's end. Nitrogen applicators were especially busy knifing in anhydrous ammonia. Other activities included disking stalks, spreading manure and dry fertilizer, seeding oats, and repairing tile lines and waterways. A few corn fields have been planted, but most farmers are waiting for warmer soil temperatures. There were 3.3 days suitable for field work during the week in Iowa, compared to just 4/10 of a day last year at this time. Topsoil moisture was rated 76% adequate and 21% surplus across the state. Subsoil moisture was rated 75% adequate and 23% surplus. Many reporters commented that conditions remain too wet, but a few commented that rain would be welcome in their areas. Corn planting is just underway, but only southwestern and southeastern districts were close to 1% complete. 59% of the fertilizer applications were complete, 4 percentage points ahead of last year, but 5 percentage points behind the 5-year average. Applying anhydrous ammonia was the predominant field activity during the week, but the pace was considerably slower across the northern districts. This is Greg Tayson, Director from USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service, Nebraska Field Office, with the crop weather report for the week ending April 12, 2009. A cold week with limited precipitation slowed growth in wheat, alfalfa, and pastures. Temperatures averaged 9 degrees below normal throughout the state. Soil temperatures declined in the eastern part of the state from last week and showed little improvement in the west, staying too cold for germination of row crops.
Over a quarter of the oats have been planted and are starting to emerge. Wheat conditions rated 66% good and excellent and remained above last year and are beginning to join. Pasture and range conditions were mostly good or excellent and were above last year. Calving is over three-quarters complete with normal calf losses reported. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NAS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
That, of course, was the first crop progress report of the year. There'll be many more to come as the planting season continues, right here on the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You are listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Tuesday afternoon, and each and every Tuesday we talk with somebody about the agricultural energy markets once a month. It's Stephen Platt. He's up at Archer Financial Futures in Chicago, Illinois. That's an ADM affiliate. Good afternoon to you, Stephen. How are you today?
Good afternoon, Todd.
Let's start out with USEAI's reports today that show that the number of barrels that will be consumed globally should drop about 180,000 a day for the 2009 season. What'd you make of that?
Well, certainly the numbers pretty much confirm what the IEA, or International Energy Agency, had reflected as well. They revised down their number by 1 million barrels per day for the 2009 year. And certainly it kind of is moving in line with what the expectations of the economy are in terms of GDP growth and the lack of it in major industrialized countries. One bright spot, I think, is going to still be China. We've seen car sales increase, and I think that will ultimately lead to better demand coming from that sector, particularly on the gasoline.
I think there were two things of note, both price-related, that I saw or heard at least in the reports. One of them suggested that the average price for a barrel of crude would be $53 for 2009. June contract is trading $52.52. And settlement price for the day here, and then $10 above that for the 2010 season. That would suggest that there is growth in the world global economy in the coming year.
Well, that's what the market has pretty much displayed. I guess right now we're looking at the contango pretty much reflecting those types of prices. And finally, we've caught up to the expectations that demand would be weak. I think a lot of that has already been discounted, and we'll have to see how things progress here going into the second half to see if demand actually comes in a little bit better than expected, which could give us a little bit of a better pop than what we've seen here recently, maybe up toward that $60 area.
Well, how does this historically look compared to prices as we headed into the higher prices and then back into lows? And I can only give you about 15 seconds to do that.
Well, the pattern that we've seen, I think, has been an exaggeration. And subsequently, we still think that looking at weakness as opportunities to take on some forward coverage is probably a good idea in terms of both the heating oil and gasoline.
Stephen, thanks much.
Have a great afternoon.
You too. Stephen Platt is with Archer Financial Services. You're listening to the Closing Market Report.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
It's National Pecan Day. Pecans are native to North America and is a member of the hickory family. During the 1700s and the early 1800s, the pecan became an item of commerce for the American colonists, and the pecan industry was born. Today, the U.S. is responsible for more than 80% of the world's pecan crop. Astronauts took pecans to the moon during two Apollo space missions. By the way, it would take 10 billion pecans stacked end-to-end to reach the moon. On this day in agricultural history in 1927, Clarence Birdseye of Massachusetts received a British patent for frozen fish fingers. As a trapper and biologist in Labrador, Birdseye had noticed that fish and caribou meat, frozen for months, tasted just as good as fresh fish and meat. The secret was to duplicate these sub-zero temperatures in nature. Birdseye spent 8 years trying to recreate the effects of nature until he developed a satisfactory commercial system for quick freezing. And in 1964, Rachel Louise Carson died, an American biologist. Carson was well known for her writings on environmental pollution. In her book, Silent Spring, Carson warned about the long-term effects of misusing pesticides, especially the dangers of DDT. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason. It's a Tuesday afternoon. We're joined now to take a look at the agricultural weather by Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon.
Hey, eventually we'll get sunshine here, but it sure has been wet. Can you tell me about those conditions?
Well, there's going to be more wet coming. There's going to be a storm that's really right now just getting itself organized over the Pacific Northwest that's going to lumber its way through the High Plains and the Central Rockies here at the end of the week. And by the weekend, it's going to have a tap into the Gulf of Mexico, bringing a lot of moisture into the Midwest. So it's going to be another wet stretch of weather here later this week through the weekend and into early next week. Now, mid to late next week, we do see some warmer, drier air coming in. But between now and then, Todd, it's going to be wet just about everywhere. Even the dry southern plains, which have recently gotten back into the moisture, they're going to see more as well. Winter wheat country, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas are going to get into some good rain.
Oh, boy. Can we schedule that big slow mover for about, oh, I don't know, June 15 or July 1 rather than now? I think guys would rather be in the field, but it does set things up nicely for moisture. Although we're getting to that point where things are fairly saturated across portions of the Midwest, who's the wettest at this time?
Well, certainly the wettest are in the central and southwest areas, in the east, southeast areas of the Midwest and Corn Belt, and the whole Corn Belt and the whole Midwest, but those areas I just mentioned are likely going to get the heaviest moisture. There are some indications that as much as anywhere from 2 to 4 inches of moisture could fall across southern Indiana, southern Illinois, eastern Ohio, many areas of Iowa looking at maybe 1 to 3 inches of moisture. And then into the Delta areas, there could be as much as 4 to 5 inches of moisture out of this current pattern.
Wow, we'll need some heat and some warmth, a little wind to dry that out. Is that in the forecast beyond the rain?
Well, long term, we're going to see a big area of warmer, drier, high pressure build over the west and slip in the middle to the end of next week. And I do think that is a pattern that could give us several days of warmer, sunnier, drier weather. But it's going to get worse with the wet before it gets better.
Tell me about China. They're in a predicament, or had been at least, that's similar to ours. A little wet, slowing down the beginning of the growing season.
Well, and that's going to continue. Right now it is a very wet forecast for all of China. Much like the Midwest here, United States, China has been stuck in a stormy pattern, and that trend's going to continue as well. And their pattern is going to be similar to ours. We're going to have this wet period of weather followed by some, well, let's say a 4 to 5 day drier period in the middle to the end of next week. But for the rest of this week, into Monday and Tuesday next week, several systems will bring good chances of rain to all of China.
The Australian wheat crop is due to go into the ground. What conditions will that happen under?
There's a good chance of moisture over most of Australia, especially next week. Precipitation chances for most of the country are at or above normal in terms of amounts of moisture that's expected.
Well, rain all across the globe. Any place dry?
South America is. They were dry all summer down there in their summer season, and that trend's continuing into their fall. It's going to be wet over most of Eastern and Western Europe, although there are portions of Russia that are going to be a little drier.
Don, we'll talk to you again in a week.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report each and every Tuesday afternoon.